Okay, so we want to continue our lesson. So let's just begin by a word of prayer, and then we go into our lesson this morning. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful that you have granted us grace. We are thankful for this new day, and we pray that, Lord, as we look into your word, that, Father, you may speak to us this morning, and that, Lord, even as we continue with our lesson, that, Lord, you will grant us grace, and more so our desire is that as we learn, we put these things that we are learning into practice, that, Lord, we may live to honor you, and that we may live to glorify your name. Pray that you be with us this morning. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we did session one. Session one was basically defining what spiritual growth is, and also just launching us into the other portions that we are yet to consider. And so in discussing session one, we looked at what spiritual growth is, what it is not, and the means by which God has provided for us to grow. This morning, however, I want us to look at the need for spiritual growth. Yes, we know what spiritual growth is and what it is not. Why then do we need to grow? What's the essence of growing, and why are we spending this time trying to find out and also to learn from the scriptures? And so please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read from verses 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. If you're there, I'll read. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, when those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then our memory verse, as you can see there, comes from Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That is, in other versions, that are mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in the New King James it says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so, what's the need for spiritual growth? And as we look at that, it says that those who are mature have the reason and senses, exercising their senses to discern that which is good and that which is evil. And so, the first thing that I've listed there is that spiritual growth helps us to discern and distinguish between good and evil. If you look at a small baby, they don't know whether fire is hot or not until that time that they touch it and it burns them. That's when they withdraw and say, this thing is bad. So there is that caution that they have. But yet still, if you look at a small baby in terms of their reasoning, they do not know everything. They just totally depend on those who are adults to guide them. Now, this passage is telling us we need to grow spiritually, one, because out of that we will be able to understand, to know, to differentiate between good and evil. In other words, as we read the word of God, we are able to understand what God has stipulated for us in his word on how we ought to live. We'll also be able to understand and know that in this area, God is not pleased when we are living in this manner. And therefore, it is helping us to know between good and evil. Now, this involves learning to use the word of God in our daily lives, which will then help us develop spiritual discernment. Now, we must exercise ourselves into continually reading the word of God, going back to the word of God, and trying to seek and find out what does the word of God say about everything else that we want to do. And then it continues to say, when we are able to discern, then we are able to be like the Bereans who heard Paul teaching, but then went back to the scriptures to find out if these things are true. Now today, you will hear many people teaching. Some are teaching the truth of God's word as it is. Some are not teaching the truth. They have colored the gospel to the sense that they want to please the hearers. And so when we are grown mature, when we are grown in our spiritual walk, when we hear anyone preaching and speaking God's word, we will see and put it into test by going back to the scriptures and trying to find out, is this what God is speaking? And if it is what is God is speaking, then we need to hear it. We need to put it into practice. But yet, if it is not what God is speaking, then we have a reason to say that was a false teacher. That was not the right thing. Because in our day and age, we have plenty of those. All around us, there are so many people who have colored the gospel, who just want to speak to our hearts and just want to stimulate us to feel happy, feel enjoyment in life, but yet that is not what the scripture is teaching. And so, why do we need to grow in our spiritual walk? One is that it will be able to help us discern what is good and what is evil, and therefore keeping us in line to the teaching of the scripture. Any comment about that first point?
Just that a lot of pastors I've met, like you just said, false teachers. Mm. It's because they don't study, do the study for themselves. Mm. They hear from somebody else, mm-hmm. they're discipled by somebody, and they just start teaching people mm-hmm. in that direction mm-hmm. without ever, they don't really
yeah.
spend
sure.
time mm-hmm. on their own in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is very true, and it's a danger because, you know, people believe in pastors. When a pastor stands before a congregation and teaches God's word, people most of the times will not doubt. They will know that that's what God is saying because of the authority that is in the pastoral office. Now for us who are Christians, it is important that we grow so that when we encounter one who is not teaching us the right truth of God's word, we'll know how to handle ourselves, but also we'll know how to help others who might be in such kind of a trap. And so on a personal level, we have to grow in our spiritual walk. We have to understand what the scripture teaches. We have to just make scriptures be our ultimate authority of everything else that we hear, and know which one we ought to keep and which one we ought to disregard. So that was a very good contribution. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 again. Chris, will you read that for us?
Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food.
So, we are saying we need somebody to teach us the basic principles of God's oracle, of God's word. So, the second point there is, it is expected of us to teach others the word of God. So, if we are going to be part and parcel of those who are going to help others grow, then first of all, notice that we have to grow ourselves. Because how will I go teach somebody geometry if I've never learned that geometry? It will be a disaster, right? So first of all, it's me as a teacher to go and equip myself with the word of God and then come out and teach others what I have learned. And likewise, all of us as believers, that is what is expected of us. If we look at what Paul's instruction to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, these things that you've heard of me and that you've heard of your grandmother and your mother, go teach them to faithful men who will then teach other faithful men. So we learn, we grow from it, and then we extend that grace to others and also teach others that they may also come to the point of understanding and knowing the word of God. And so the second thing is that it is expected of us to teach others. Written there, the ability to share spiritual truths with others is a sign of growth. Because I have grown, I have known, I have understood, and therefore I make a step and also help one who has just come into Christianity to grow and also to come to be a mature person. And so it says, the ability to share spiritual truth with others is a sign of growth. This is because we cannot teach what we do not know. We are to teach God's word to new believers so that they too can grow and mature. And that's the essence of, you remember last time we were talking about fellowship. One reason why we must fellowship one with another is that we may encourage one another and build one another up. Now, if new believers are coming into the church, if one gets saved in our midst, it's our responsibility as those who have been in Christianity for a while, those who have matured in the Christianity, those who have matured in their spiritual walk, to walk with these people and help them grow so that at the right time also, as they continue to learn, they grow and understand what God's word is all about. So we need to teach others the basics of Christian doctrine. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We need one to come and teach us the truth of God's word. And also, we need to also exercise ourselves to go and learn and be able to understand what the Bible teaches, so that when we go, we'll not be like those preachers that Sean was just telling us. The one who just picks a scripture, they don't study it, they don't look at the context of what the scripture is saying, they misinterpret it and therefore misleading others. But for us, we are required to grow spiritually so that we are able to understand, to discern, to know what is good and what is evil, but also to be able to teach others so that they may walk in a manner that is worthy and pleasing to God. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 17. Now the book of Peter, but notice what he says in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So notice Peter is giving a warning to these believers, telling them, brothers, now that you've heard and you know these things and you are seeing what is happening around, beware, because there are so many false people, false teachers that are teaching the wrong doctrine. So he's telling them, beware lest you also be led astray by such kind of teachings. Now, why do we need to grow? So that we can be aware of what is true and what is not true, and therefore we can take heed and encourage ourselves in the word of God and look to the word of God. So verse 17 just reminds us that we need to take heed lest we are led astray by false doctrine or by error. And so if we are going to stand firm and be steadfast in our growth, we must be willing, as Peter already told us, we must have that longing and a desire to get to know God so that we may grow in our spiritual walk, but also so that we may be able to discern what is good and what is evil. Let me just point it out that the task of being able to teach others comes with a lot of responsibilities on our sides as believers. It's not going to come easy. It's not every time we go tell somebody the truth that they will automatically get what you are teaching them. Sometimes they will reject you. Sometimes they will run away from you. But it is our duty as believers who are growing in our knowledge of God to take time to be intentional and teach others the word of God, so that they too can come to be mature Christians and also be able to live a life that pleases the Lord. Remember, our last lesson will be about the results of our spiritual growth, or the outcome of our growth. When we have grown, here is the main goal why we are even doing this lesson, is that our lives should, at the end of it all, glorify God. Is that God must receive all the honor and all the glory, but also so that we may stand firm in the faith in which we profess. And so, as we do all these things, I would want to encourage you to keep your life on the balance, keep your life on the check, and see, am I growing in my spiritual walk? In which areas of my life am I weak? And what can I do to ensure that I get to the right place where I need to? So let's look at the last thing that I want us to look this morning, is point C. It is commanded that we grow. 2 Peter again, chapter 3, chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Notice, but grow in grace. If you look at that sentence alone, there is no subject. But that doesn't mean that there is really no subject. But the subject to whom the one Peter is addressing is believers. And so it's an implied subject. We would also otherwise say it, you people, or you Christians, or you believers, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter is saying, having addressed them, this is like he begins the chapter by talking about growth, and he ends with it by talking about growth. And that tells you something, that it is something that is needed. He says, but grow in grace. But you believers, you Christians, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice, it is a command that we ought to grow. Because when we grow in the grace and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to overcome temptation, as we shall see. We will be able to bear fruits for the Lord. We will be able to live a life that pleases God. And we will be able to live in harmony with one another. So friends, why do we need to grow in our spiritual walk? Why is it important that we take time and discuss these things? Remember, these are not new truths that we have not heard. There are things that we know. There are things that we have encountered. There are things that have been emphasized every now and then. But yet still, it is necessary that we keep ourselves reminding ourselves of the truth of God. Because we wouldn't want to forget, or wouldn't want to be overshadowed by our own schedules and other things. But when we remind ourselves of these truths, we go back to the scripture and we find out how are we supposed to grow in our walk and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to leave a few minutes for discussion. So in the next 10 minutes, I want us to just discuss today's lesson and the last 2 weeks what we've discussed, and see if there is anything that you'd want me to clarify, and we would clarify that both together, and if there is anything that you would also want us to just look to as we wind up this session today. Anything?
Considering the reading of the Bible every day and knowing of your doctrine and being able to execute it properly when telling it to somebody else, very few Christians actually practice this. They would normally only focus on like 2 or 3 books in the Bible, know those 3 very well, and mostly just use those 3. But the whole entire Bible is everything, our history, God's word, what he plans for us, everything. So to just focus on small little pieces of the Bible, even if you do plant a seed within a person, it's not going to really give growth, because they know less than the little that you know.
It's very true. Let me give you a scenario that will emphasize that. Like if you are watching movies, especially series, and you just come in the middle of the all series and watch episode 5 and leave 1, 2, 3, 4 and the rest up to 12, you won't get the entire picture of the story. You will get something, yes, but not the entire picture. Now, I'm not saying the Bible is a movie or a series, but it's a complete story. It's complete in the sense that it's talking about God's grace to humanity and how God is redeeming the world. And if we just pick, for instance, and just say we are just reading the book of Peter, we are missing out on the other parts of the Bible. Why? Because when we read the story of how God was gracious to the children of Israelites, and then compare that with what we have today, we see that God today is really gracious to us. In those days, when one committed something, they were to be punished. Right then, it was capital punishment. You were to be stoned to death. Today, when we commit something, we just run back to God and ask for forgiveness. And notice, he is gracious and faithful and is able to forgive us. And so when we read this, we just see how God is working in different times, but also in fulfilling his main aim, reconciling sinful human beings to himself. Thank you for the reminder. We need to focus on the entire book. Let's read the Old Testament. Let's read the New Testament. Let's read the prophets. Let's read the letters and everything else that is in the Bible. And let's be familiar with what the Bible is teaching. Only then can we be equipped to be able to do what we are reminded here, to teach others. Because otherwise we are going to teach them like just a short thing that we know. And then they will not be able to grow to maturity. Thanks for that.
Well, on the point, I just want to ask an application question. And it's about discernment. When we grow spiritually, we'll be able to discern what is good and evil. And as Sean pointed earlier, that there are those pastors that they just read the scripture on a Sunday morning, or they don't meditate on the scripture, they don't study God's word properly. And how would you advise a young believer who is growing in the knowledge of God and has realized that whatever is being taught is not the truth of God?
Like, if you have found the truth and you find yourself in a place where truth is not told, the best way is to get out of that place as fast as you can. Why? Because if you know the truth and you are in a place where truth is not told, then you will never get to find the real truth in there. One, you will always be in conflict with the ones who are teaching, because they're not teaching you the truth and you know that this is not the truth. You cannot change their mind. So the best thing is for you yourself, who has known the truth, I think my advice would be, find a place where this truth is taught, where you feel comfortable that the instruction you're given is really the word of God and not the word of man. That would be my simple advice. But yet also help them understand why I'm telling them so. It's not that I want them to move from that church to my church or to other church. But the thing is, we must constantly feed on the right thing. And if one is realize the truth, the best is find where that truth is taught. If he doesn't know, I will recommend. But if he has an idea, I will also just encourage him to go to that very place he thinks the truth is taught. Because at the end of it, it's the truth of God's word that we will grow in, not false teaching. Because false teaching will just leave us where we are. Let's talk, for example, those who teach prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and your life will be sweet. Your life will be good. It will be smooth. Not in this world where life will be smooth. Every day we face challenges. Now, what is going to help us understand these challenges is when we saturate ourselves in the word of God. When we have hope that in this life, tribulations will come. But Christ tells us, I think in John, somewhere in John, that my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but the one I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, do not be discouraged, because I have given you my peace. Now, what's the peace that Christ has given us? A peace of knowing that we have eternal life. A peace of knowing that even though we pass through circumstances in this world, there is a better future. There is hope for believers that we will suffer now, but this suffering is not going to take away our inheritance of the kingdom of God. So, what do we do then? We face these challenges with a new, renewed attitude, knowing that our God is going to carry us through even to the end. But that doesn't negate the fact that there will not be suffering. So if I come here and tell you, come to Christ and then your life will be smooth, I'm lying to you. Because the next morning you go out, you find that something happens that makes your life not smooth. Now, how do you feel? I lied to you, right? Because I gave you false hope. But when I come, I tell you, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have peace. And that's the passage that we will be considering in the main service this morning. When we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, peace with God simply means that we are secure that our future is taken care of. Our past, present, and future sins, the Lord has taken care of them. And then, now, what does that give us? Confidence as we face trials, confidence as we face challenges of this life, and trusting in God more because we know where we are going. It's like our target is to get there no matter what, We will struggle in these challenges, but we are focused that that is where we are going and that's where we are heading. And so, I don't know whether I've answered your question in a long way. I will tell that person, run for your life. Find a better place and serve God better.
I think one thing about that type of situation is when you look at, when you're reading through the Bible, say on tongues, and the Bible saying, you know, there has to be somebody interpreting, and that starts to bother you. That how come you're there where they're praying in tongues and nobody is interpreting? But then, one thing that starts to cause people to doubt sometimes is, how can I, one person, be right? And then the whole church
is wrong.
And it's not just this church, but
many
all over the world. How can they all be wrong? And I'm correct. And when the person doesn't have other people that know what the Bible says to help them, it's very difficult. So many just stay where they are.
It's true. And that's why now it's our task. And one of the things we looked at here is that it's our task to go and teach others the truth. So if such a person comes to you, then you are at a better hand to help them. And perhaps it's God's divine appointment that is leading that person to you to show them the truth. Yes, many churches are practicing it. But if you look clearly in what the scripture teaches, there must be certain guidelines in which those acts must be done. And if you look at everywhere, those guidelines are not followed, right? So even if I am the only one who is wrong, who is different from the others, but I stick to what the Bible teaches, I have confidence because it's not my own. I have drawn that from the scriptures. So the scriptures is what is making me make such kind of a judgment and not the majority of what people are doing. So it's very challenging. And many people end up staying, as Sean is saying, because they do not know clearly what is the truth. Now for you and I, we have had an opportunity to know clearly what is the truth. Let's teach others that truth, that when they come to such kind of conviction, this truth will lead them, will guide them, and will help them in their walk with Christ. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for the time that He's granted us to learn His word. But I also pray that as we learn this truth, that we go back to the scriptures and just search the scriptures, find out how best can we grow in the knowledge of God's will. Because if we grow, we will be mature Christians and we'll be able to handle different circumstances that comes our way in a mature way and in a godly way. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, we are honored to be your children this morning, that we can come in this manner and just learn from your word. And that, Lord, we are grateful that you are a gracious God. Lord, you do not treat us as our sins and as we deserve, but you treat us in mercy, you treat us by your grace. And Lord, this morning we are thankful even for the topic that we are considering, and we pray that, Lord, as we learn on how we ought to live our lives, as we learn how we need to grow in your grace and in your knowledge, in the knowledge of your will, our prayer is that, Lord, may you open our minds, may you help us, may you guide us, may you protect us from the vices of the enemy that whisper lies in our ears and will draw us away from your love. Lord, we pray that you strengthen us, that we may be faithful men and women, those who look to you and trust you and serve you, even as you has called us to. We thank you for your faithfulness, that, Lord, even in times that we have not been faithful to you, you have remained faithful and you never changes. Lord, we thank you and just glorify your name. We pray that you help us and lead us and guide us even as we go to the main service. Lord, you will speak to our hearts, and that our worship, as we render our worship unto you, that the anthems of praise that we shall raise unto your throne will be acceptable before thee. This is our prayer, for we make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.